It's really nice to be with you again this morning. I, like you, am looking forward to the day when we no longer have to wear our breath quality detection systems and we can be free to move about and interact with people a little bit more. But that being said, all this COVID stuff has opened up doors that would have never been opened. At least for Refresh Ministries, it has. And so just to mention a couple examples is that through that, I've made connections. Connections have come internationally. Yesterday morning, I got to get online at about 5:30 in the morning to join pastors who are serving congregations of people from India. So all over the world, people from India have moved and they've formed church congregations. And this association was equipping and encouraging pastors who are serving those congregations. So that was a real cool opportunity. And so that's one of the things that's come out of it. And the other is we've made contacts in Pakistan, and our two Refresh books, our Refresh Devotional and the Thrive Burnout Prevention and Recovery book, have been translated into Urdu, and they have been printed and they're ready to be distributed. And so you can pray about that as just that God would guide and get those books to the right people. You know, we've got 2,000 copies of each printed, but that's just a drop in the bucket for all the people that could use that. And so just pray that God would guide and get that to the right spot. So I appreciate that. Well, this morning, I, in honor of the upcoming camping season, I decided that I would talk about the story in Scripture where the axe head flew off the axe handle. And just to know, just to keep that in mind as we go camping this year, make sure your axe handles are well secured to the axe head. Anyway, that's my tip for the morning. But you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to look at a little story here that happened in the life of Elisha. And I've entitled my message, Have You Lost Your Edge? How Lost Blessings Are Restored. Have you lost your edge? How lost blessings are restored. And we'll look at that story. So join me in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, Go. Then one of them said, Won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my lord, he cried, it was borrowed. The man of God asked, Where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Well, that would be quite a camping story, wouldn't it? If you could tell that. But have you lost your edge? How lost blessings are restored. I have a phrase that I would like you to go home with today because I'm going to share with you a principle that has helped me so often in my own walk with God to get back to the blessings of joy and power that God has available for me. But I've also used this concept to help other people. Much of my work involves with helping people restore lost power and joy in their walk with God. And it's this principle that is so key. So I trust that you learn that. And the phrase that I want you to say is this. Say it back to me. Look where you lost it. Look where you lost it. I'm going to say it a few times during the sermon. If you hear me say it, you're free to say it out loud to me. Just so, you know, I know you're tracking. Look where you lost it. There you go. Well, you know, this week, one of the guys who has been working with John Piper, a writer, apparently a speaker that is associated with him, came out publicly and said that he was no longer going to be following Christ. And we're hearing more and more stories. I think we're in a time when there's a lot of pressure on God's people. People are losing their way. People are losing their confidence in God. So how do we respond to that? What do we think about that? Well, part of it is to look where you lost it. Thank you. We notice in this text, first of all, that this was a context of ambition. So what's happened is Elisha was a Bible teacher. He had three, apparently, Bible schools, we would call them, but they were school of the prophets. And so he would go from location to location, it looks like, and teach. And he must have been a wonderful Bible teacher because the numbers are growing. They certainly weren't growing because of money, as we see in this text. The guy had to borrow an axe to be involved in it. So if you have to borrow an axe, you're probably not doing that well financially. But there was something about the ministry, something about his teaching that was drawing them in. And so the numbers were increasing and such that where they were sitting for their lessons wasn't big enough anymore. And so they had this ambition to go and expand. And so they wisely came to Elisha and they said, "Hey, we want to expand. What do you think of that?" And he said, "Yeah, go ahead." And they wisely also wanted him to come along. By the way, when we have ambition, it's good to get to check in with God and say, "Is this ambition of you? And will you come with us in that?" And that's really what they're doing here. Elisha was the representative of really the lead prophet, spokesman for God at that time. He was the prophet of abundance life who pictures for us the ministry of Jesus. And they went and asked, "We want to expand. We want more room." And he says, "Go." And then they said, "Well, come with us." And he says, "Okay." I just want to pause here and say there is a place for godly ambition. Do you have godly ambition in your life? Do you have an interest in seeing the kingdom of God expand through you? It's a good thing to have that kind of ambition. Whatever sphere you're in, whatever line of work you're in, we can all have ambition for God's kingdom. It's a good thing. And when we have that ambition, we can check to see, "Lord, are you with us in that?" And that's a great thing. And he'll say, "Yes, go, I'm with you," if you have a godly ambition. Well, so we have the godly ambition. Then we have the loss. So they're chopping away, and one of the guys makes a swing, and the axe head goes flying off, and it goes flying into the river. I'm guessing the river was flowing at high season right now or something, but he couldn't just jump in there and go searching for it. It was lost, and it was gone. By the way, back in those days, you did not want an axe head to fly off and injure someone. That, well, we wouldn't want that these days, but you know there's an interesting text in Deuteronomy 19 that says, it's talking about sanctuary cities. In Israel, they set up these sanctuary cities. If you hurt someone or inadvertently killed someone, you would run to those cities to be safe. And it says in Deuteronomy 19, it says, "This is the rule concerning the man who kills another and flees there to save his life. One who kills his neighbor unintentionally without malice or forethought. For instance, a man may go to the forest with his neighbors to cut wood, and as he swings his axe to fell a tree, the head may fly off and hit his neighbor and kill him. That man may flee to one of these cities and save his life." Interesting that they would give that specific example. So it's good that the man, you know, the axe head went into water. It's better than it hitting somebody for sure. But he lost his edge. He wanted to help expand the kingdom, but he lost his edge. He lost his power. He couldn't be used in that way anymore. And it was impossible to recover. Many, many people that I've worked with through the years who are involved with kingdom expansion have lost their edge. They've lost their power. They've lost their joy. They've lost their zeal. Like this man lost the edge, his ability to impact a situation, so too others. I worked with a missionary who had been on missions about 5 years. Stepped in, went with all the zeal, with all the enthusiasm, all the energy, wanting to make a difference. But there was conflict, there was demands. Lost their edge. Wanting to give up. Let me ask you, have you lost your edge? You've had a heart for expanding God's kingdom, but something's happened. That zeal and that joy, that experience of God's blessing seems to have drifted away. Where did it go? Well, let's look at the recovery. Verse 5, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. Then the man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. The recovery. We may be tempted when we lose the blessings of God, when we lose the joy, when we lose the power of service, to react in different ways. We may be tempted to react to this loss of power by just kind of suck it up and rev up. I find that I work with people who, I've got to get more disciplined. If I was just more disciplined, that power would come back. Well, they may need to grow in discipline, but that may not be the answer. Maybe they, sometimes I find in churches or individuals, we want to borrow it from someone else. Oh, that person who wrote that book has such zeal. Maybe I can rev it up by reading that book. And there's lots to learn from reading books. I like reading books. But it doesn't always do it. Sometimes we want to give into despondency. Well, I guess that's the way it is. Those were the good old days back when I had zeal and I was passionate about God. But those days are gone now. That love, that first love, I guess it's dissipated. I guess that's the way it's going to be. We can respond that way. But how do you recover? And the first thing is, he cried out. Oh no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. And by the way, one commentator I was reading yesterday said it was begged. And so the picture is like, oh man, we're all going out on that project and we're going to be cutting trees, but I don't have an axe. And so he went to somebody and it wasn't like, can I borrow your axe? It was like, can I borrow your axe, please? I need your axe to help out. And after that, then all of a sudden the axe head flies off and he's owing. It was a pretty desperate situation. Elisha was God's man, and he cried out to him. And that's how we start to recover our lost blessings. It starts with crying out. God is interested in the small matters. He was interested in this axe that was lost. By the way, someone, John Newton, wrote this, a little part of a song, I think it was, no one concern of ours is small if we belong to him. To teach us this, the Lord of all once made the iron to swim. So we see God's interest in this small thing. And we often operate with a preconceived notion that God's not interested in our small things. Cry out. Take the lost vitality to Christ. The man went immediately to the prophet who was Elisha, by the way. You study his life, compare it to the life of Christ, you just see he was a foreshadowing of Christ again and again and again. He was the prophet of abundant life. So to find your lost blessings, you start by confessing your inability, your lack of power to recover it on your own. You need God's help. And the second part is this. Pinpoint the place of loss. Pinpoint the place of loss. Look where you lost it. Ah. Thanks for listening. This question must precede every recovery of lost power. look where you lost it. We have a human tendency to look everywhere but where we lost it. I remember one person, the most frustrating experience I think I've ever had in trying to coach or counsel people. Worked with this person a long time, and we dealt with this, and we dealt with that, and we dealt. And finally, I'm just saying, this isn't going anywhere. And so I brought it to the end, and then the person actually got honest. We had been circling and circling and circling and wasting, in my view, my time. We like to look all over the place instead of where we lost it. Some common places we look where we lost our edge, and or we don't want to actually, I'll just pause there a minute. We do that because we want to save face. We do that because we don't want to go to the place where we lost it. Some common places where we lose our edge. Sometimes it's a sinful choice, a lie told, a tax cheated on. Sometimes our godly ambition has turned into personal ambition. Sometimes there's unholy soul ties, where we've been tied our spirit to someone else, and actually, when it's truly recognized, they are the Lord of our life rather than the Lord Jesus. You will lose your blessing if you have that and do not deal with that. Sometimes it's overexertion over a long period of time. And maybe all you really need is a great nap. I read a phrase this morning. I wish I'd written it down, but there's nothing restorative like a great nap. Maybe that's just the problem. But sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's lost hope. There's one man, a friend of his, brought him to me to have a conversation. And he was going through burnout. This was a person who worked, he wasn't in full-time ministry. He was working a job and helping out in the church. But he's burnt out. He is exhausted. He'd lost his way. So we started talking, and he said, well, I said, is there a moment when you realize you lost your hope, you lost your energy, you lost your joy? He said, yeah, I was at a Christian men's retreat. And somebody said something to him. It was something in that statement, right at that moment. Hope was lost. And we wouldn't restore it until we went back. He had to look where he lost it. Deep within your heart, Ted Rendell wrote, you are aware of the location of the lost blessing. Even now you can point to the place on the map of your spiritual life and say, there is my lost power. And he also writes, if you are desirous of recovering lost power, you will have to admit before God just where you lost it. We got to look where we lost it. I just want to really make that point. Have you noticed? After that, we access the miraculous. Elijah comes and he cuts a piece of wood, throws it in where the axe head went under, and the miraculous thing happens. Iron floats, and the man gets that axe head back. How do you and I access the miraculous? Well, I don't want to stretch the analogy, but I do want to say that just as Elijah cut off this branch, Christ was cut off for you and I. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants, for he was cut off from the land of the living. I don't know for sure if this story is trying to picture this cutting off, but what I'm saying is we have to access the miraculous. We have to bring God's power to the situation, And we do that by bringing Christ into our situations where we've lost our joy, where we've lost our power, where we've lost our zeal, where we've lost our confidence. We need to bring Christ in. The recovery of lost power can be accomplished only through the death of the Lord Jesus. He was cut down in death and cast into the river of death. It is his death that alone is able to counteract the law of sin and death in the life of the believer. That's Ted Rendell quote, "Look where you lost it. Bring it to Christ." You know, this recently I'm working with a person who's been in Christian ministry all their life and recently has gone into real discouragement time. And this is getting unpacked, and a lot of great progress was made, and I thought maybe we were close to the end, and then a little side comment was made by this person who's been in Christian service all their life. And they're going through some really tough times where they really need the comfort of the Lord's presence, the assurance, and that needs to mean something to them. But this person keeps saying, "I'm quoting those verses, I'm memorizing these verses about the Lord's presence with me, and I should have some comfort, but it's not bringing me any comfort." I found that very interesting. And then this person said, "Prayer is such hard work." And sometimes prayer is work. But I think a lot of our prayer should be a joyful encounter with our Lord. And this person said, "All my life I've struggled with prayer." And so I'm putting a couple things together. It's not comforted by the thought of God's presence, has a hard time enjoying prayer. Maybe there's something going on in this person's belief about God. Maybe this person doesn't have a confidence that God is good. How many of you like hanging out with people who aren't good? You think they'll be mean to you? I don't see any hands. Do you know a lot of us struggle with prayer because we think God is not good? So we don't want to hang out with him. And we're not comforted by the promise of his presence. So working through with this person to help them look where they lost it. Well, lastly, retrieve your edge. Retrieve your edge, verse 7. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. I find it interesting in some of Elisha's miracles. It's like God acts like in this powerful way, and I think the people are just standing there stunned. And Elisha says, "Oh, well, grab it. It's there, floating on the water. Go get it." There is something that we have to do. Christ has brought his resurrection power, but we need to reach out and receive it and appropriate it. Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 12 where Peter is in prison and the church is praying like crazy for him to be released? And miraculously, an angel comes and gets him out of prison and walks over to where the prayer meeting is held, knocks on the door, and the servant girl sees that he's there and just leaves him there and runs back and tells everybody. And everybody say, "Well, where is he?" Someone commenting on this story said, "There are some things prayer doesn't answer. Some doors prayer won't open." In other words, after God has worked, you have to open the door. Let him in. We need to appropriate the work of Christ for ourselves. So when we see where our power is lost and when we see where it's lost, and we see that Christ has the power to turn things around, to make the iron float, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, we do have to reach out and say, Lord Jesus, please apply that to me. Please apply that to me. Reach out and appropriate it. Fill me with your spirit. Restore the joy of salvation. Lesson I want to leave with you this morning. When you have lost your edge, when you have lost your edge, look to Christ at the place it went missing. When I was just a brand new believer, I was 16, I think. As you can tell, it's been a long while back. But I enjoyed that fresh relationship with God. But then all of a sudden, something happened, a few things happened, and my joy was gone, and I was miserable in my walk with God. I wasn't sensing his presence in a joyful way. So I went and talked to our youth pastor, and he said to me, just looked at me and said, you're angry with God. And I was. Some things had not worked out the way I'd wanted them to. He says, you need to forgive God. What? Well, anyway. Basically, what he was having me do was to look where I lost it. I needed to resurrender at those points. And when I did, the joy started to come back. Lately, the Lord's been teaching me that I've made my joy dependent on what other people are doing. So when my joy is gone, he's saying, look where you lost it. Have you lost your edge? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your power? Have you lost the anointing of Jesus working through you? Look where you lost it. Tell the Lord about your loss. Cry out to him. Let him search you to point out where it fell. Sometimes we legitimately don't know exactly where it fell. I think a lot of times we do, but sometimes we legitimately don't know. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Where did I lose this? Avail yourself to the work of Christ. Ask him to come and make the iron float in your spirit. And then by faith, reach out and appropriate it. So my friends, when you've lost the blessings and joy of your walk with Christ, look where you lost it. God bless you.